Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler and this is episode number 38. Great to be back once again, and I hope you're remaining to stay safe and well wherever you may be. We'd love to hear from you, so remember, get in touch by sending an email to podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. And coming up today, I'll be speaking with Keith Kirkland from WayWorks about a new device called the WayBand, which may significantly aid your navigation as a blind or low vision person. Stay right where you are. That's all coming up. To GPS, one of the things that I have found challenging, and maybe something that has put me off using GPS actively when I'm out and about, is this idea of having lots of information going into your head, I suppose, at the same time, and having to engage with your phone whilst you travel, listen to instructions or coordinates from your phone as you're walking around. I tend to stop and check my phone and see where I am. It would be really interesting, wouldn't it, if there was a device that would discreetly give you that information as you travelled along so that you didn't have to pull out another device. Well, Keith Kirkland from WayWorks and his team have been working on something that just might do that, and it's coming very soon. Keith joins us on the show today from the US. Keith, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Wonderful to be here.
Great to have you. Whereabouts are you in the US?
I'm in Brooklyn right now.
Brooklyn, excellent. I do get the kind of the New York accent. That's my terrible attempt at a New York accent. Listen, it's great to have you. We'll talk about WayWorks and WayBand in a minute. But it's very kind of a niche area to get into. Were you always interested in this, or have you some personal link with blindness, or how did this happen for you?
Yeah, so we started WayWorks. So I have two co-founders, and we started the company together 5 years ago. And I like to say that we walked into this world of haptics through different doors. And so my personal door, before we created WayWorks, so a little bit about my background. I have a background in mechanical engineering. I did that for a while, decided that I didn't want to do it anymore, and I wanted to be a fashion designer. So I got into handbag and shoe design. I worked for a few companies for a while, like Calvin Klein and Coach. And then ultimately I ended up back in school again for a third time, getting a master's degree in industrial design. And when I came out of school, I was really interested in going back into fashion and using technology and wearables as like my means of walking back into the fashion industry. And so I started from this point of view of how can I integrate fashion and technology? And I was really excited about movement and movement learning in particular. So while I was doing my thesis program at Pratt in Brooklyn, I basically came up with a premise for a suit that would allow a person to download Kung Fu. Wow. And then the suit would teach them Kung Fu using haptic feedback. And so that was my introduction, and that's how I ended up into the world of haptics.
Wow, that's that is every bit as interesting as what we're going to talk about. So we might come back to the we might come back to that later on. So you got into the area of haptics, and you've been developing and working over the last couple of years on the WayBand device. Maybe just start. Will you explain to us what WayBand is and essentially what it does?
Yes, and so the WayBand is a wrist device that gently guides a user to an end destination using vibrating cues without the need for any visuals or audio. And back in 2017, we used this technology to help the first person with a visual impairment run in the New York City Marathon without sighted assistance.
I was watching this. I was looking at this on your website, and there's a video about it, really interesting video. People should go and check it out. So he ran in the New York Marathon with the WayBand essentially guiding him?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, so the way the Wayband works is, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever played Pac-Man, or, you know, it works just as well with a pizza pie. If you imagine that, like, Pac-Man's open mouth or pizza with a slice missing is the right way to go, right? And everything else is some varying degree of wrong. So what we've done is when you're going that right way, you feel absolutely no vibration at all. And then as you get to the edge, you turn wronger and wronger from the angle that you need to face to go straight. You get a tiny vibration, and the wronger you turn until you're 180 degrees the wrong way, the louder that vibration gets, the stronger it gets.
Okay.
So what it's doing essentially is when you're going the right way, you feel nothing. And when you get to the edges of what we call the haptic corridor, you feel a vibration and it keeps you on a straight path basically between two points.
So if you just take us through the, let's say, the user journey, because presumably the first thing you have to do is tell the Wayband where you want to go. So exactly. is there an app that kind of that will control that bit?
Yes, exactly. So we built the Wayband navigation app that goes with the Wayband device. And so when you purchase the Wayband, the app comes with it as part of the experience. And what you do, like any other mapping application, you can tell it where you want to go. Unlike other mapping applications, you can then put your phone away. And instead of being guided by the visual map, which we also built a visual map, we recognize that blindness is a spectrum and that people have varying degrees of ability. And we wanted them to be able to use the full range of their sensory capabilities. And so we built a very, very accessible, but also very visually beautiful app for people who can see and for people who have less trouble seeing. And then we also made sure it worked really, really well with VoiceOver for people who have absolutely no access to sight at all.
Has the app got points of interest? So could you kind of look around you in your neighborhood and find restaurants or something and get the Wayband to bring you to those?
Yes. It does actually have points of interest. So right now, the mapping platforms that we're working off of is, one, we're working off this program called OpenStreetMaps, which is an open source mapping platform. And then what we're doing is we're using Mapbox on top of OpenStreetMaps to get routing data to route from point A to point B. And then Mapbox uses Foursquare to get location data around places of interest. So you can type in Starbucks and the nearest Starbucks will pop up on your Wayband app. And if you press go, your Wayband will navigate you directly to that location. But one of the other things that we've introduced as a feature into the Wayband app that a lot of mapping applications don't have is we partner with a company called What3Words. Now, What3Words is another mapping company. They basically divided the entire planet into 5 trillion 3x3 meter squares and gave each one a unique 3-word address. So now dog cat house is someplace on the map. Mm. And now if you type in dog.cat.house into the Wayband app, will navigate you to that 3x3 meter square.
How does Wayband work if you're coming towards obstacles? So I'm walking along and there's a truck parked in the pavement or there's a bin in the way and I'm going to walk into it. Will it give you information?
No. So actually the Wayband does absolutely nothing from the point of view of obstacle detection and avoidance. So what we tell people is that we're a supplement to the navigation ecosystem of the white cane and the guide dog.
Okay.
We're not a replacement for them. And we also want to highly, you know, say that we recommend that people have had orientation and mobility training proper before going out and using a Wayband. They're just skills that you learn in that space that are super important for your safety and navigation that the Wayband won't supplement. We're going to help you stay along the path and get you to where you're going, but we need you to make sure you stay safe while you're along that path. And orientation mobility training is super important for that.
I would say the same thing, and I would go further even to say for things like GPS, you shouldn't be using GPS technology unless your orientation and mobility skills are you know, up to speed and you're confident using your existing aids.
Exactly, because technology can always fail.
Yeah.
And you know that you know you have to have the backup of being able to know that you can get yourself home safely. And I think that those core skills are ridiculously important. So we want to really emphasize that we feel that our place in the ecosystem is really after a person has proper orientation mobility training from, you know, a body that, you know, is certified to do that work.
Okay, now there are other bands, let's say, in this space. And we talked a little bit about this before we came on air. And of course, one of the products that people who listen to this podcast might be familiar with is the Sunu Band. And mm-hmm. you were explaining to me, and it was really interesting just to hear you talk a little bit about it, about the differences, I suppose, in what you guys are doing and what Sunu are doing.
Yeah. You know, like actually I met the founders at Sunu at a conference back in 2018. And, you know, we love their product. We love what they're doing. But the thing that's really different between what Sunu is doing and what we're doing is that the navigation challenge is actually twofold. There's the micro scale navigation challenge, which is how do I avoid this table or this fire hydrant or this person in front of me? And then there's the macro scale navigation challenge, which is how do I get to the post office or how do I get to this new coffee shop so I can meet my friend at for a meeting? Now, we're solving exclusively the macro scale, where our support is to get you to your end destination and to communicate navigation information and to translate that information directly through touch. What Sunu does is Sunu handles the micro scale navigation component. They help you to get around, and they do have some navigation parts of their experience, but for us, the navigation part is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So we don't do any obstacle detection or avoidance, and we don't have any ultrasonic sensors that are capable of reading that information. We're just taking GPS data and the position of the device, and we're using that data to determine where you are, which way you should be facing.
I'm loving the idea of the discreteness of just being able to walk along and have a vibration if you go slightly off course, and then righting yourself again and then not feeling a vibration and know that you're going along the right way. It must be extremely powerful. Does your device have any other smarts? So, you know, sometimes, for example, things like step counters or anything like that, or is there any plans to do things like that?
Yeah, we're looking into a lot of that now. The device has an accelerometer, and you know, like one of the things that we want to be really, really intentional about is that we really want to add things to the Wayband that really adds value to our users' lives. The goal of the Wayband is not to necessarily be the everything for everyone. And we think that we can stay focused by making sure that the features that we add are validated by our community's need and usage of them. So I guess in the case of step counting, the real value that we see is less than how many steps have you counted and tracking that, but more what we see it as is like using the pedometer as a way of validating a GPS location potentially, because if we know a user's, you know, natural gait length, that we can assume through data that we collect from, you know, the way that user like walks through space, if we can assume a gait length or a travel speed, the number of steps could be another indicator that we use to verify. So when GPS is more challenged in some areas like downtown New York, that we have another system on the back end that's helping to maintain accuracy.
Okay.
And then of course that step counting could also then be used for athletic tracking and things like that as well. So we do see the value of bringing some additional features. And from our point of view, we started with the Wayband as a very simple design, one, so that it's, you know, very cost effective, but also two, we started with it as a platform knowing that we would add things to it as we discover things later down the line. So as the user uses their Wayband, they'll get over the air updates that will eventually improve the Wayband's usage and functionality. But we're really, really trying to nail the core experience that most of our users depend on before we decide to branch out and start to plan these other areas that we think are as useful but aren't critical. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to us about maybe just some of the practical things, like how much usage would you get out of it in a full charge? How many hours of walking around, or what's the kind of rough ideas on those things?
Yeah. So right now, the battery life will get you through a few days of usage. And we're still doing tests right now. We're actually running a massive pilot program with the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind here in the United States. And we're gonna launch a pilot program with them to test 50 of the Waybands to get a sense of kind of like how well they do from a performance point of view over time. But right now you can get with regular usage, you can get a few days on a charge, 3 up to 5 days of usage. Now, also, so it depends, like most people, when they use the Wayband, they're walking somewhere in the space of, you know, 10 to, you know, 35 or 40 minutes. And most of the time when you're walking in the right direction, the device is off. So depending on your usage, and like if you're going on a 9-hour hike, as consistent usage, we haven't tested those possibilities out completely. But overall, the Wayband will get you about 4 to 5 days of usage on a battery life using it moderately.
Okay, and I was just going to ask you about the testing as well. I know you've been doing loads of testing and people have been trying this thing out, and it will be available very shortly, and we'll come back to that in a sec. But what have blind users been saying about this? Because in my head, as someone who uses a long cane, this sounds like another level of freedom.
Yeah, you know, like I think that the focus on the skin as a communications channel is the part that they're the most excited about. They're really excited about getting back a sense of freedom, autonomy, and independence. And also, too, it's kind of like, you know, like when most people aren't born blind, they become blind in their life. And so for a lot of people, what happens is there's a transition period where they go from having kind of like very usable or somewhat more usable to extremely less usable sight. And that transition period for a lot of people is really, really challenging. And what often happens in that space is that people still do the things that they have to do, like go to the doctors and like go to work, but they stop doing the things that are, they stop like meeting up with friends and like the things that add richness and like value and happiness qualitatively to your life. Those are the things that get cut. And so what happens is and what we found in the people that we've talked to is that for a while, a person begins to shrink their life so that it fits what they feel is their ability. And ultimately, after living in that space for a while, usually most people come out and say, hey, actually, I feel like I can do a lot more with this. And then they're ridiculously excited around how to integrate technology to get, you know, I'm not going to say back to a sense of their normalcy, but to get as much of their freedom and autonomy back as they want. And so we feel that like that process is pretty long for most people. Like we found like 2 to 5 years to be the average, but we feel like we can cut that time down so that when a person is, by the time a person is ready to step into the new world, into the world of being a visually impaired person, that they have a tool that's ready to go that is going to help them with all of that mental math, you know, like getting it out of their head so they actually not be exhausted when they get to a new location. And I think that, you know, like that leaning on the sense of touch and leaning out of the sense of audio is the thing that like people are really, really, really excited about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It goes back to this thing of the discreteness, doesn't it? Just walking along and getting a little vibration and making sure you're not going off course.
Yeah, exactly. And not looking like a target, you know, like was a big, big concern. Like the safety issue I didn't realize was so overwhelming. You know, like I was talking to a person who was telling me that on several occasions that they were mugged because, you know, they obviously look like a person with a visual impairment. Mm. And so it's like, I think that like there's a big part of the community that while a white cane is good for them, like can kind of get by without it. And I think that that group in particular is going to feel a real deep sense of freedom. But I think overall, the entire blind and visually impaired spectrum is going to find value for the device for different reasons. And I think mainly freeing the ears and having the visuals there, but not being so dependent on them that you need them to have the experience. I think those are going to be the strong points.
I'm certainly excited to try it out myself, Keith, when we're all able to get out and about again a bit more. But just because I know it's not available just yet, and I know this might be a hard question for you to answer, but when do you think people might be able to get it? And I know you have a special offer at the moment.
Yeah, yes. And so we expect that the Wayband will be ready for market by October. We're shooting for September, but you know, just kind of planning for delays. And the price right now is $249 for the Wave Band, but for a pre-order special price, you can get the Wave Band for $179 and order it now. So we expect to be in market in about 4 months. We've actually just secured manufacturing. So we're about to start that whole process to make our first 1,000 unit batch. So we just closed those contracts today and really excited to kind of get this process going.
Okay, so that's $179 is the special pre-order price, and you should then have your Wayband around October time.
That's perfect.
Okay, brilliant. Keith, it's been great to chat to you. It's so nice to meet visionaries and people who are doing really great stuff for the betterment of the blind community. But before we go, I do have to come back to the Kung Fu suit. Did that ever get developed, or whatever happened with that in the end? I have to ask you.
Yeah. So no, the Kung Fu suit never got developed. Actually, while I was making or working on the Kung Fu suit, my impetus to come into the WearWorks company, my door that I walked into was that I realized that there was no, all the technology existed to build the suit currently. But the thing that you needed was, like, if I wanted you to raise your shoulder 2 inches up using vibration, there was no language that I could use to tell you to do that. Mm. And so the first thing I realized is that in order for the suit to exist, first, you know, we need to build some kind of language that communicates information through touch with. And then after we did that, we could go and build the suit. And from my point of view, from my co-founder's point of view, the navigation component came from him meeting one of our advisors before he was an advisor who's blind and visually impaired. And he had him talk at his school for an inclusive design before people were talking about inclusive design. And after he talked with him a bit about the challenges around navigation in particular. And so when we came into the company, I was kind of like, haptics, yay, Kung Fu, this would be awesome. And Kevin was like, yeah, you know, there's this application around navigation. And when I thought about it, I was like, actually navigation is just a simpler form of movement than Kung Fu. Instead of three-dimensional space, it's two-dimensional. Instead of millimeter accuracy, GPS resolution is 5 meters at best. Instead of, you know, like millisecond latency, it takes you time to walk geographical distances. So latency in the systems, it's an issue. And the entire language is really simple. You go straight, you turn left, you turn right, wrong way, you've arrived. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wow, if we can prove this out with navigation, then we can take all this, add a third dimension, you know, like millimeter ties it, microsecond ties it, and turn it into, you know, Kung Fu or any other form of movement. So navigation, from my point of view, was the opening door that was leading to the Kung Fu suit. And, you know, let's just say navigation was a lot harder than we thought.
Okay. We're extremely glad that you stuck with navigation, Keith, definitely. maybe you'll go back to Kung Fu suit later on. Okay, so just very finally before you finish, give us the website where people can go and pre-order their Wayband right now.
Yes, so to pre-order your Wayband, you can go to www.wear.works, W-O-R-K-S, and you type in /pre-order. It'll take you straight there, or you can go to the homepage and the pre-order button is in the top right-hand corner.
Keith, lovely to chat to you. Stay in touch. Looking forward to the release of the Wayband and to trying it out later in the year. But for the moment, thanks a million for talking to us today.
Thanks so much for having us. We super appreciate it.
Delighted to talk to Keith Kirkland. Thanks very much, Keith. I had a really great chat with Keith off-air afterwards, by the way, as well. Excuse me. And he's doing some really interesting things around... I suppose breaking down barriers in society as to what those of us with sight loss can do and challenging perceptions. And I just said to him, there's another podcast in that. So I want to get Keith back on to talk about that and all the great work he's doing, giving back to the community. Well, that's just about it for this episode. We'll be back soon. Until then, stay safe, stay well. And for now, please stay at home. From Stuart Lawler and everybody at Sight and Sound Technology, thank you for listening and goodbye.